glad that you're watching. I've already got received one text message with us having technical difficulty. They wanted to know why we were not up and hot. So we're glad you're watching. I think last week Chuck pointed out that there were like 136 views as we were doing our live stream last week. So we are thankful for your participation from that standpoint. We have been doing a series on the eldership. We're going to continue doing that series just because it's a good biblical topic. This morning, we're going to talk about the eldership of the church. And we've been talking about this and noticing that it carries a weighty responsibility. When you talk about the role of the leaders of the church, the elders of the church, they have a great responsibility. And we'll point out a little bit later in this sermon that they will have to give an account for the role that they play as elders of the church. Because as elders of the church, they are responsible for your soul's salvation. And they'll have to give an answer as to why you lost your salvation or whatever the case may be. When we consider the role of the elder, one of the most familiar passages, I think, is Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. In this particular situation, Paul met with the Ephesian elders. He had called them to Miletus. He was on his way back to Jerusalem. And in this passage, in verse 28, the New King James Version says, he tells those elders to take heed to themselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. So we see here that it is an important job, a task that the elders have in a particular congregation. Wherever you may be a member, if you have elders, then you need to understand and appreciate the job or the task that they have, because it is one that God has made them the overseers of. Peter would tell us in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 1 through 4, "The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." Notice what Peter says here. He says if you're going to serve as an elder, you shepherd that flock. You lead that flock. You protect that flock. You feed that flock. But he says you're an overseer. You oversee everything that goes on at your particular congregation if you're an elder. Not by compulsion, but willingly. You should not have to be forced into this job. Don't take this job if you feel like, well, if I don't take it, then the eldership's going to fall apart. The church is going to... That's the wrong reason to take the position of an elder. Not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Men should come up in the Lord's church and have an eager disposition to want to serve as an elder someday. And we're going to talk about some of these things as we go through here. But notice, he says that the Lord has entrusted you. God has entrusted you with His sheep. Now we go back to Acts 20 and verses 28 through 31. And Peter says, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. And notice he says now in verse 29, "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves," or grievous wolves, depending on which translation you read, "will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up." He's telling them that after I leave this world, that out of the eldership, there are going to come grievous wolves. There are going to be men from within the eldership that rise up, he says, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Then he gives an admonition or a warning. He says, "Therefore, because of what I've just told you, therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears." Paul says, I've warned you. And I'm telling you that after my departure, and I believe he's talking about that after his death, he said the church will fall away. And a lot of it's going to, well, in the first century, it came from within the eldership. So he says they're going to be a falling away. There's going to be an apostasy. What does that mean? Well, I want to suggest to you that the word apostasy is not found in the pages of God's Word. You cannot go through God's Word and find the word apostasy. But what you do find is the phrase depart from the faith. And Webster says that that's what apostasy means. That's what Paul is talking about. When he talks about departing from the faith, we look at that word and we say they have fallen into apostasy. They have apostatized. Paul wrote to the young preacher Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, and he says, the Spirit clearly says that in later times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such things come through hypocritical liars, though whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. Paul says there's coming a time. There will be a time when there will be some that will abandon the faith because they're willing to follow deceiving spirits that are taught by demons. And the teaching are coming from hypocrites. This is prophecy because it really happened. Paul is predicting an apostasy or a falling away that's going to happen in later or latter times. And Paul says it will come, but notice he doesn't say when. But we know, go back to Acts 20 and verse 29, and he says, for I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Paul's talking about that when his life is no more, that there will be a falling away, and a lot of it's going to come in to the church from the elders. Now, as to where this takes place, he says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. Notice Paul says his death is imminent. The end of his life is here. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. But we go back to Acts 20 and verse 28, and he says, there will be savage wolves or grievous wolves that will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Now, as to where this apostasy takes place, Paul says it's going to be from the elders. And when you think about it, all apostasy, all church falling away, all of the people, when a church falls away from the faith, it all begins, all real apostasy begins with falling from the truth, either directly or indirectly with the elders. Now, I know that's a harsh statement, but when you think about it, the eldership creates or allows innovations to be created in the church. It all stems from them or stops with them. Now, as to how this takes place, Paul said, remember in Acts 20 and verse 29, by grievous wolves entering in to devour the flock by false teaching. Now, some of the elders, he says, will speak perverse things to lead disciples away after them. Now, you'll remember we had a series about church history here not too awful long ago. And you'll remember from that series of lessons that the church fell away because the elders decided to appoint a head elder at each church and then send him off. And then they had a chief elder or bishop over that, and they sent him off to another location, and it just kept going with a pyramid or hierarchy, and we wound up with the Pope. That come from the eldership of all of these churches. So the eldership began, according to our church history, to start the first falling away. So Paul was right. He was prophetic in what he said, that when I depart, there will be grievous wolves or savage wolves that come in, and they'll come in from among you. Remember, he's talking to the Ephesian elders. He's not talking to the congregation as a whole. He's talking to those men that shepherd the flock. So how does apostasy develop? I want to suggest to you that apostasy does not kick the door down. I watched the movie Twister for a little while last night, and when that tornado comes through, it makes that path of destruction, and then it's gone. It's a slow-moving path of destruction. Error is the same way. The devil is behind error, and he's not going to come with a battering ram and tear the doors down and institute false teaching in a congregation. But it is a slow departure from the truth. And one doesn't always realize that they are drifting in most cases. In fact, the Hebrew writer tells us in chapter 2 and verse 1 that we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard. He says, or we may drift away. I don't know how many of you like to float the river. But if you go into a river with a canoe or a kayak or whatever, if you don't paddle, you're going to move from one place to the next just simply by drifting. Because even though the river doesn't show a current a lot of times, it is a current in the river, and it's going to cause you to move from one place to the next. So the Hebrew writer is very accurate here. We've got to pay careful attention to what we know, to the truth we have learned. We've got to listen very carefully, or we may drift. If you're in the river and you want to stay in one spot, you better drop an anchor. Well, the truth is our anchor. We need to hold fast to that anchor and hope and pray that our anchor stands fast, that it holds fast. But this drifting away is like you get up one morning and whether you're a man and you get in the bathroom and you shave and everything, and I'll give you myself as an example. 25 years ago, I had a beard that was red. I mean, it was thick and red, and then I get a job, and they won't let me grow a beard, and then I come to work here for the church, and I start growing my beard back, and I look, and it's not red anymore. How many of you look in the mirror, and you think, I'm not young like I used to be? Fellas, that didn't happen overnight, did it? Growing old doesn't happen overnight. So when we look in the mirror and we see the facial changes, you know, women worry about the crow's feet and the wrinkle around their eyes. Marilyn tells me all the time that the gray hair is distinguishing in a man. She doesn't like gray hair. And I know she's watching, so y'all can hear it from her later. But it's also like a cancer. It oftentimes is too late when the disease is located and recognized. And the best and only safeguard against this evil is a periodical and complete checkup. And the same is true with our spiritual faith. As the Hebrew writer again says, we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard. You and I have got to listen carefully, lest we drift away from it. Now, the same is true with the elders. But I want to suggest to you again that apostasy follows three well-defined steps. And those three steps I'm going to look at is this. The first step is a change in the divine pattern for the oversight of the church. Remember, in the first century, that falling away or that apostasy started with the elders. The governing power of the church must not ever be changed. Remember what Paul told the Ephesian elders. God has made you, the Holy Spirit has made you overseers of a church that he bought with the blood of his precious Son. And as long as the proper authority remains in place, the way the church is supposed to be, then apostasy is impossible. If we stand firm, if our anchor is holding fast in the truth, then we'll never drift. But that's a tough statement, isn't it? Because eventually a change in the divine pattern for oversight of the church will take place if we're not careful. A second step is going beyond the truth, going beyond God's word. Corrupt religious practices come from somewhere other than God's word. It comes from man. Something must be added in order for this to happen. And once the government of the local church is set aside and something else substituted, then the next step is taken to go beyond what the truth says. And this consists of adding some practice that the Bible does not give us authority for. And then the third step, complete departure. If we change the divine order, what other changes have to be made in order for us to be in a complete departure? Paul warned about going beyond what is commanded in passages like 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 6. The King James Version reads this way, "And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another." How many commandments of God do we have to disobey before we're lost? Think about that for a moment. How many commands of God do we have to disobey before we're lost? You don't have to be smarter than a fifth grader to answer that question. You disobey one and you're lost until you come back. With everything that we've talked about here, with the apostasy and how it's developed and everything, this is why it's important for churches to have scriptural elders, because they are the safeguard against these falling aways or this apostasy. And that's why there is a need for elders in the church today. Many things must be decided about the work of the church by the men that serve as elders. What time we assemble, where we're going to meet, the order of worship, the preparation for worship, who's going to preach, who's going to teach. All of this falls under the oversight of the elders. The elders made the decision to purchase this system so that we could live stream for events such as this. We talked about this a couple of months ago, I guess, whenever we first had this system installed, that when this virus hit, we found ourselves here at Eastside kind of behind the eight ball. We were behind the times so much that we had all of these members at home because the elders had made the decision for safety's sake to not have services where we would come together. And now because of this virus, again, we've had to take a step back. But thankfully, you're at home today, some of you, and you're being able to live stream and watch as this service is taking place live. But even if everything was running along smoothly, we have the live stream for when you're at home sick and you can watch the services. There are many other decisions that the elders have to make sometimes that you don't know about. And you need to be thankful that you don't know about all the decisions that the elders have to make. There is no greater work or responsibility than that of the elders of the church. They need a pat on the back occasionally. They need some encouragement from us because they do a good work. We had a president one time by the name of James Garfield. And he resigned from being an elder in the local church to become president of the United States. And he was quoted as saying, "I resign the highest office in the land to become president of the United States." That's how highly we ought to view the office that God has put in this position to oversee and shepherd the flock of His people. He said that in 1881. I sometimes wonder if the church as a whole, as individuals, if we haven't lessened the job that the elders do. When, as we pointed out last week, if you disobey the elders, you need to realize you're disobeying God. You are rebelling against the elders. You've rebelled against Christ because they work under His direct authority. So when the elders tell you that we're going to disband for a moment for the sake of this virus and you get up and you go wherever you want to regardless, have you not disobeyed the elders? It was for safety's sake when that was stated. But let me also say, there are some people that go unnoticed a lot of times when we're talking about the work of the elders. Their wives put up with a lot. Their wives have to suffer some times of loneliness because the elders have to go out and have meetings late at night sometimes. They have to go out and visit people sometimes. And it takes up a lot of their physical time to be away from their wives and their families. And the wives sometimes go unrecognized because of their sacrifices as well. But then we look at our churches today, and we understand that scriptural elders are the safeguard against apostasy. But why are there not more men qualified to be elders in the church today? I can think of three reasons. The first reason is that there is a lack of energy to develop men to serve in the qualifications that they have to meet to be elders. When you look at the churches today, there are men that have no desire to serve as an elder. If they did, then their lives would be adjusted to accommodate meeting those qualifications. And sometimes the newer, younger generation, they don't want to live their life above reproach. They're happy doing whatever they want to do with society. And they don't want to govern their family and to guide their family so as to keep themselves and their children in the way that the Lord would have them to live. Second reason. When they start talking about elders, and we need to start talking when men are younger, they don't seem to have a desire for the office. And that's the first qualification, is that you must have a desire to serve as an elder. And when you think about it, these young men, they are making no effort to qualify to serve as elders, young men or old. And by the way, when you're older, it's more difficult to start training yourselves to meet those qualifications. That's why we need to start now when young men are not married and train them to start now working their lives to be qualified to serve as elders. But they may not want to serve because they've had a bad relationship with elders in the past. Maybe the elders had to discipline them or rebuke them for some sin that they were committing, and they didn't like it. I used to work in a grocery store when I was young. I think I was 15 or 16. I know I was young enough that my daddy had to drop me off and pick me up. So I was 15 years old. Store manager come to me one day and he says, "Do you mind if I give you some constructive criticism?" 15 years old, I looked at him. I said, "I don't even know what that means." He says, "I want to give you some criticism to help you be better." I said, "Well, sure." So he gave it to me, and I didn't like it a bit. I don't remember what it was he told me. But I do remember the fact that I did not like what he had to tell me. And sometimes elders may give us advice, and we may take it in a bad way, and we might have that bad relationship with an elder or a group of elders, and we don't want to be like them. We may be used to hearing the members complain and abusive toward the men that serve as elders. I tell you what, I've seen my father, when he served as an elder, be standing in the doorway and women come by and dress him down because of some decision that the elders had made. And he was the convenient one, and they would just chew him out right there in front of everybody. Now, who wants to be on the receiving end of something like that? A public scorning. And it's not for everybody. But we need to start now training young men to be that. It may be some spoken of about in an unchristian way. Well, I guess the preacher's on that end of that that comment as well. But the work of efficient elders is the highest and most noble and most needed work among the churches today. And they are deserving of our deepest and greatest and our love and respect. Because as Paul said, they watch out for your souls. A third reason why more men are not qualified to be elders, and this falls on not the individuals, but I believe there's a lack of preaching on the subject. I don't know why preachers will not preach on it. The elders may not let them preach on it because they've got the job locked down and they don't want anybody else coming in and rocking the boat. I don't know. But we need to be preaching on every Bible subject. And many preachers may intentionally avoid the subject because the preachers fired and hired by the elders a lot of times. But it may be in an effort to avoid recognizing qualified men. And like I say, the eldership is a wonderful job. And we need to understand that it is a wonderful job. In some places, well, let me back up here. In some places, the membership of the church have never heard sermons on the subject of the qualifications for elders. Now, if such is the case, we might as well leave out any phase of scriptural teaching on this one subject. So we go back to the book of Acts. And this will be our final scripture. Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 17. Paul says, from Miletus, or the text says, from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, you know, from the very first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly from house to house. Brethren, we need to be preaching and teaching every aspect of the Word of God, even if it's uncomfortable. The eldership is one of those topics that should not make us uncomfortable. We need to have men that are qualified. We have three men that serve here now. But we need men, young men, preparing themselves to come along. And no offense against our elders, but they're not going to live forever. Their wives are not going to live forever. And unfortunately, we will have to replace elders. The question is, who's going to step up? Who's going to live their lives trying to meet the qualifications to be an elder? Is it you? Do you know someone else? The church here now needs to start grooming young men and young women to be good elders and good elders' wives, but also good deacons and good deacons' wives. You see, the church can function without them, but it makes things just that much more difficult. Because the church is a divine institution. It's divine because God made it the way that it is. And we need to do everything according to God's pattern. Again, I want to thank you for watching us on live stream. And if there's anything that we can do to assist you, it may be that you've listened to this lesson and you might have questions about it. If you have our numbers, you can call one of the elders or myself or one of the deacons. Or if you need to confess sins, contact myself or one of the elders and we'll work with you to get that taken care of. If you'd like to be baptized, by all means, contact us. I tell people it doesn't matter if it's midnight, I'll be here to baptize whoever is ready to be baptized. Again, thank you for joining us this morning.